So next we have David Bars and Jennifer here to talk about some reconstitution of family data that they've been working on.
Do you want to use this?
I'm Jennifer Kearns. This is David Bars. And today we are going to answer this question for us. Can a layered approach to historical family reconstitution make a difference in the final merging results? The definition of family reconstitution for purposes of this discussion is the process of bringing together automated historical records to identify families and extended lineages, usually based on a specific geographic region or community. The two methods or approaches that we used to combine the data in this experiment were the big bucket approach, in which you add the data sets all at once, and the layered approach, where you add the data sets in a strategic order that mimics the general methodology used to perform genealogical research. The normal process that family historians normally use to research their family history is, number one, they gather previous research, which includes local histories and compiled lineage link sources. They then move on to locate and identify the family in census records and land records, and then document with primary source records such as church records and vital records. This procedure normally uses these guidelines. You work from the present to the past. You benefit from the work done by others and continue with family identifying sources, then conclude with primary sources to add to and verify what has been found. So if we apply that research process to the layered approach, it becomes that you begin with the compiled lineage link sources and local histories, then add family identifying sources to that, and add further to that vital and church records. With these following guidelines, work from the present to the past, and merge within each data layer before combining with other data layers. So then our question becomes, can a layered approach to merging the data improve the accuracy of the final results?
If I can get past the microphone, we'll be good. Get rid of that first. I'm left-handed, so I put it on the wrong side.
So I get to answer the question. Or try to. How did we get there? How did we decide whether it worked or not? We decided to use automated data that we had for the clerical district of Sør-Fron in the county of Oppland in Norway. The data consisted of almost 3,800 records from the Bygde Book, which is a local history that has a genealogy of all the people that lived on the farms in Sør-Fron. So we automated that using PATH. We had census data from the 1865 census and the 1900 Norway census, roughly together about 7,000 individuals listed in those censuses. And then for primary source records, we used the data that is in the IGI, extracted data for births, christenings, and marriages. We used almost 4,000 records there. So we have a total of almost 15,000 records that we want to merge into one set of data that has one representation for each person. In our paper, you'll notice that we said we were going to use 34,000 records for the vital records. That's what's in the set from the IGI. We wanted to be accurate, so we were trying to evaluate each of the matches we were making. It became a daunting task to get through the 11,000 pairs that were there. So we got about 10-12% of them matched and reviewed. They were tended to be the ones that would match with the census, so we used that as our set. We'll continue and have the full set later on. So for merging tool, we use GenMerge for several reasons. One was Palladie Softwares, who developed it, was willing to work with us and to help us make changes as needed and to give us some advice. We greatly appreciate their help. It was based on probabilistic record linking, and we wanted, as a foundation, we wanted to use that technology. It works on a copy of the database. So it didn't destroy what we had when it merged all the records. If we decide we want to go back and try it again, we could just start over. We didn't have to undo anything. A very important feature that it had, it allows us to review the merges and decide whether we like it or not. If we decide it's a bad match, we can tell it to exclude it and then reprocess, and it'll create the final merge set without the bad matches in it. That became very important to what we were doing because it allowed us to capture our evaluation, our decisions. It creates an exclude file, and we took all of those exclude files and were able to use that on both sets of data. So we made the same match decisions in both cases. We didn't have to redo them on the second set. That saved us a lot of time. So for the big bucket approach, we took our big-to-book data, census data, and IGI data, and put it all into one file. And then we ran GenMerge on it, and it gave us a result set and told us how many records were merged, and we had a final set. We had to work a little harder to do the layered approach. We started with the big-to-book data, and we merged within it to make sure there were no duplicates left. Then we used that as our foundation, the starting point. Then we took the census data and went through the same process. We merged within the census to make sure there weren't any duplicates. In 1865, any of the matches that came up, they ended up not being duplicates. The 1900 census, they enumerated people who were working away from home in both places, where they lived normally and where they were temporary residents. But they identified them as being a permanent or temporary resident. So we first looked for and found those people and merged them and cleaned that up first before we brought the two census sets of data together. So then we merged and had one set of census data that we then applied to the big-to-book data and merged it with that. So we added the second layer into the first layer. Then the last layer was the IGI data, the vital records data. Again, we merged within it as best we could, and then we applied it to the SORFRON data and it merged it into the database. When we were done, we had one reconstituted representation of the families of SORFRON clerical district. We did this. We had the same thing with the big-to-book data, or with the big bucket data, so now we had the two sets we could analyze to see which one did the best. And the answer to that we'll have after this commercial break.
So I asked my dad where he wanted to go for his 60th birthday.
The sound's not on.
Norway, he said, the land of our ancestors. We drank a pint at Ibsen's favorite pub.
Well, hope you recognize that.
We got new sweaters.
Bought sweaters.
Said,
I feel like
Yoda. Until we went to the Hall of Records.
Now they're in the archives.
We were actually.
And they discover they're from Sweden, not Norway.
Two tickets to Stockholm, please.
So they go to Sweden.
Your city card can help you.
Oops, went the wrong way, sorry. Okay, now for the answer. Our master file had 1,400, almost 1,500 records in it. We very carefully looked at all of the matches as we went through the layered approach. We ended up with a final result set of 11,391 records. So it removed 3,200 duplicates. We used the exclude files, the decisions we made on the big bucket approach, so it had the benefit of those same decisions. The end result was it had left in it 11,505 records, so it was just a little larger than what we had come up with the merge set. The difference was only 114. But then we started looking at the matches that it had made or what was left in the data set. We found that there were just a few errors, 1,656. So the final result, the big bucket had 9,735 of the individuals that should have been in the file. It didn't have it. The rest of it were missing. So the real answer is, yes, the layered approach does make a difference. We'll continue to use the layer approach so this doesn't happen to you. You don't find out when you're in Norway that you're from Sweden. We are interested in feedback regarding the record linkage methodologies that we're using. We're interested in tools, other tools that may help us process and provide a different slant on it. And we're willing to share our test data set with you. Hopefully, we need a few more days to finish marking everybody that matched, but we should have that ready in a little bit. Our contact information is in the letter, the syllabus. Do you have any questions or comments?
What was the time difference between doing the big record approach? If you're running the merge only once compared to the time of doing it layered multiple times?
Because we were looking at all of the matches very carefully, it took a lot longer. But it does take a few minutes longer. We did, just to see what the difference would be, we ran the data through without making any of the evaluations. We just let GenMerge run through it. And it just took a few minutes longer to do the other one, obviously. And they came out with the same, basically the same results. There were 450 or so records that should have been in the final set with the layered approach that weren't there. There were about 850 that should have been in the final set by the big bucket approach that weren't there. But when you're not making lots and lots of decisions, the difference wasn't significant. But it does take longer. It's a lot more work. And the more data sets you have, if we had four big to books, then we'd have to do a little more there. So it does take more work, but we felt the results were better results. For we wanted it to be accurate, and we got better accuracy that way. Other questions? Thank you.